Welcome to Start to Finish Motherhood, a podcast for those thinking or already single mothers by choice, just looking for practical advice for navigating life's relationships. When you decide to have children on your own, it doesn't mean that you're completely alone. I'm Aisha Jenkins, and I'm partnering with you every step of your journey. Everybody, I'm here today to have a tickle me pink conversation about dating as an SMC. I've been wanting to have this conversation with my guests for 2 years. Black women have this habit of when we walk into the room, we immediately see each other. And it's a nod in passing. There's so much that gets lost in translation with the head nod and the how you doing and just the little bits of conversation. And we get it. We get each other. And so it was during one of these times where we were at a Single Mother by Choice event, and we were just talking about dating. And you had given me some pieces of advice that I was just like, I had never really made that connection before. But first, let me backtrack. Kimberly was not only one of the very first SMCs that I met in my immediate area. You were one of the first people I met. I had a little tiny baby at this particular event. And I was like rushed in that whole experience of new mom, tiny baby. And you just came over and you saw me and you were like, let me take the baby. You go get yourself a plate. It was the best. And you were like my big sister in spirit. I think at the time you had a 5-year-old, I would say, and you just had it together and you just saw me. You came and you took the baby and you were like, go eat. And that's what I love about Black sisterhood. And so let me go ahead and I'll have you introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about your story and then we'll get into the episode. Tips for dating as a single mother by choice.
I'm Kimberly. My daughter, Ella Wangari, is 14 years old, and it took me about four and a half years to get pregnant. I've been an SMC for close to 20 years. When I was younger, I always had a plan B. One of the first times in my life that I formulated a plan B in high school. And I'm not quite sure how I found out about sperm donation, but I always said that if I wasn't a mom by a certain time, like 36, that I would look into sperm donation. And so I always had that plan B in the back of my head. I think I was 34 years old. I had just gotten out of a bad relationship, very public, bad breakup. And I decided that I was going to become a mom. And of course, I thought that I would be able to use the lowest intervention possible, an IUI or ICI back then. And 4.5 years later, thousands, tens of thousands of dollars on the second IVF, I got pregnant with my daughter. I was so happy and I thought that my difficult times were over because I was pregnant now and I would do everything I could to bring this child into this world. Lo and behold, I was always high risk, have some medical conditions, always high risk. And I went to Costco that Saturday morning and I went into labor. I was 28 weeks pregnant. I wasn't quite there, couldn't believe what was going on, and I was very silent. I drove home 8 miles, and there was a point that I stood up in the car, and I took my seatbelt off driving at the light because I was in pain. I got in my house, and still, because you're in shock, and something kicked in and said, do not give up. My daughter was in the hospital for 3 months, but like I told you, I thought my journey was hard with 4.5 years of trying. But I didn't give up. When I got pregnant, when I went in there for that positive pregnancy test, they stood up because I did not give up. That was the beginning of my resilience. I didn't know that what I had developed would be the resilience that I would need to see my daughter through 3 months of hospitalization in the NICU. Fast forward, I always tell women, I said, don't give up. Don't get frustrated because that baby is supposed to be there. Because I lived the life that my baby was outside when she was supposed to be inside. But I didn't give up. And I say that to say the same thing about dating. I didn't give up. It was hard. I don't think I should ever give up on dating because I know and I believe that I will find a partner. But she's 14 now. Doctor's appointments for years. She came home after 3 months and she was still only 5 pounds. 14 years later, my daughter is fully fluent in Mandarin. She makes the principal's list, which is the not just the honor roll at school, but the principal's list. Years of Mandarin tutoring My daughter was recently accepted into the summer program at Brown University, Ivy League institution, to study STEM. She got a scholarship. I still need more money. I don't know where I'm going to get that money because I still owe thousands, but I will not give up. So that's Kim. Kim's not going to give up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so pause. As single mothers by choice and Black women, our intersectional identities can sometimes work against us when we encounter mm-hmm. moments of crisis, right? Mm-hmm. Because the way that we handle a crisis is different. It looks different. The way that we have to manage a crisis looks different because sometimes we don't have a deep support network. Sometimes we can't fall apart. And so you right. have to hold it together. And to some people, that comes across as, oh, you can deal with the pain. The pain is not that bad. Ooh. I need to live for this child that is inside of me, as well as whoever I have to take care of when I get home. So I can't F around.
You have to be strong because you're dealing with so much. But I say that because I've walked that journey. And I've had people even in my current life say, wow, you're a hustler, you're resilient, and you have grit. I have grit because of the things that I've gone through. And that is to say that my life didn't start easy, still is not easy. And talking about not giving up, I love dating. I love men. If I could have one for every day of the week, I would. Now, that's not to say he would be in the same capacity, but I love men. I am still very much so attracted to men. I am fully menopausal. I don't have a cycle anymore, but I still walk past a fine man and it makes me turn my head. But when I started this journey, the dating journey, that is, so I was not menopausal. I still had a cycle. I've dealt with it.
All right. So let's lay some of the groundwork first. Okay. I want to talk about your approach to dating. What does your village look like? And then what's your strategy for childcare?
Okay. So there was a point that you turned that corner and my daughter was about 6 years old. And I found that there was enough space in my life to date. So I started to date. I had did a little online dating before I had my daughter, but not very much. So I delve in very deep to online dating. I'm a very analytical person and I love the internet. I love research, and I believe in using the tools that you're given to make your journey easier. So anyway, my daughter is 6 years old, and I think I have enough space to date. One of the most important things that I did by taking care of myself before she became six, I was able to prioritize my health and wellness early in the morning. Also, I set my life up. I do live in D.C. I live and work in D.C., so there are places that are close to me that I can access. I knew that. I also knew that as an SMC, I had a village. And one of them being another SMC, I was like, hey, girl, I want to go on a coffee date. She was like, cool. She was like, and bring me some of those blueberry muffins, too. I love to cook. I love to bake. I'd bake her some blueberry muffins and bring my daughter over there and switch off like that. Another important thing, I think, that when you're starting off on this dating journey is don't be afraid to advocate for yourself. And by that, I mean that, hey, you're a mom. I'm upfront about it. If I need to meet you for coffee at my lunch, then that's what we will do. I say, hey, I can meet you for lunch. I don't give them an option. I don't let them choose. You will meet me for lunch if you want to meet me. This is where I am. And I went from there. Now there, later on in my dating journey, I realized like I would tell people, I say, hey, I'm a little bit older. I got a little bit of leave, you know? So if I want to go out and have lunch with someone and take an extra hour of leave, I knew dating was important to me. I didn't take extra 3-day weekend vacation because I needed 24 hours on my leave schedule because I wanted to date. And so by having that holistic look at all aspects of my life, that Kimberly, yes, you have sick leave, you got annual leave. Yes, advocate for yourself and tell him to come see you. I'm getting ready. I'm putting on the dog. I'm pumping up myself. I'm listening to my soul sister girl music on the way to work. I'm going in the bathroom trying to put on my fabulousness for you. I'm keeping it tight. If you want to have coffee, you can come here and have coffee, and he will do that. I'm a firm believer that a man will do what you ask him to do. And if he's not the right man, that's how my dating journey started. I used online dating, still very analytical. I realized and read articles on online dating, and I realized that a lot of the apps are owned by the same people. You would see the same people across them. I'm a firm believer in not paying for the apps. I'm not going to give you my money because I need to go to Anthropology and buy a good dress with my money. No, I'm not going to do that. So I had certain rules that I went by. I also am a firm believer in having friends that when I would go on a date, I would share my location, and that you can't be secretive about things. Use your network. And by that, using your network, when you are going to meet someone that you don't know, have a girlfriend that you send your location to, text them that you can be a confidant. And I would often tell them, I kept a journal in my top drawer of my house, and I would just write date, time, and all his incidentals in there and where I was going to meet him. And then too, I would screenshot pictures of him and send them to my contacts. So in case something ever happened to Kimberly, there were several people who had his information.
And yeah. So your approach to dating was, you did internet dating. You speak about what it is that you need. You let them know where they can find you. You prioritize dating. You had a village before you knew you needed a village. And then childcare. How did you manage childcare?
I don't bring people to my house. I have my rules, right? You don't come to my house. You don't know where I live. I didn't have to get into childcare until I knew them very well. There was the point I met a guy and we had became serious. And it was quite a while before I really needed like long-term childcare, because I used my creativity. I says, I'm grown. You're grown too. You want to go out to lunch? One, he was like an account rep, so his territory was Washington, D.C., but we would get together during the day. I told him, I said, I'm mom at night, so you got to take some leave. Don't be afraid to ask them to do things. I met a guy, he was a professor. He had his classes, he taught on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And so he was laughing. He said, how are we going to do this? And I said, you got internet, don't you? And he said, yeah. And I said, I can move my telework day. And he said, oh. And I said, yeah, so I can come over there and I'll telework in your space. And so I think it's important to use what you got to get what you want. You don't have to date during the evening. Why do you have to date and have sex in the evening?
So you did lunch dates. You remain flexible in how you date. You stayed generally good health, generally in shape. I believe one of the conversations we had in passing was like, girl, make sure you drink all the water and keep everything lubricated and keep those joints in shape. And so I was just like, oh my goodness, I knew we had to have this conversation. Okay. So now with that groundwork laid, what advice would you offer to people looking to date in terms of strategies?
I've talked to a lot of people about a dating strategy, and I've talked to men and I've talked to women. And I always tell, because we're older now, and so talking to men, I was like, I said, you got to think about things in a fresh new way. You meet a lot of guys and they're divorced. And the first thing I tell them, I say, well, you need to practice putting a condom on first, right? And you as a woman need to be okay with a condom. You need to have your bag of lube and your bag of multi-size condoms, right? But also the conversation about drinking your water so you're well lubricated, because but I tell the guys, but this also is for women too, have new clothes. And the same with women. One of the SMCs who actually is married now, she said she met a guy online and she was going out on a date and had gotten serious. So I was going over there to drop Wangari off. She told me this in the door. And I looked at her and I said, what kind of panties you wearing? And she said, huh? I said, girl, show me your panties. She was like, Kim, I said, show me them damn panties now, girl. I said, you don't wear them panties out on a date with that man and y'all about to get serious. I said, I'm going to go buy you some panties. And so I went out and bought her some good panties. So be prepared, be excited, not only being excited internally about meeting him, but show that enthusiasm, because you want that energy to come through when you're dating. I don't want to go on a date. I'm not a firm believer in going on a date and treating it like I'm going to McDonald's to order a Happy Meal, talking about give me extra fries, don't salt them, this and that. I think you should have enthusiasm and have a little bit of energy and put some effort in your date. That's basically the basis of that strategy.
First part of the strategy is be prepared. So by being prepared, we mean be excited, be enthusiastic, your grown-ups. Make sure that you prepare like a grown-up, that you have your condoms, you have your lube. Make sure that you have new unmentionables, right? So don't use the raggedy undies. Go out, splurge a little bit, because sometimes what is underneath your clothes makes you feel as excited as what you put on your face and all that other stuff. Okay, so other piece of strategy tips.
Okay, so going in a strategy is that now, one of the things, it's easy for me to be outgoing because I am a big extrovert, but I looked at myself and I said, who are you, Kim, and what comes easy to you? So that meant that I needed to relearn how to flirt with men. And one of the things that when you're flirting with men, you got to look good. So I had to spend a little bit more money getting things that were a little bit more appropriate for dating. So I had my dating outfits, had my dating shoes. And I relied upon a lot of that good sister wisdom that we learned from our mothers. Like you see me now, she said, girl, she said, you need to show them off. So if you got a good ass, that good padonkadonk, wear it. I only wear V-neck t-shirts because I'm going to show off what I have. It's beautiful. Show you are a woman. You are a woman. Show off and be proud of who you are. If you've got beautiful glowing skin, if you got beautiful hair, show it off. That's part of your strategy. You're putting your feathers out there for the world to see. So when you do that and you flirt with men because you've got to throw something out there to attract them, I would look them up and down. And I use the same strategy now. I look them up and down and I say, hey, how are you? I'd hold the door for them. I'm like, oh, let me get that for you. I believe a man should be treated well. And so I would have my little ways to flirt with them, and I would flirt with people in unique places. So that was a strategy right there, that you have to get out of your shell and you have to say hello. You got to look at people and engage them.
All right. So other tips, if you got it, flaunt it. So prepare for dating, do splurge on dating outfits and the dating shoes. Enhance your best features. So if your girls are your best features, if your tushy is your best features, your legs, you got it, flaunt it. We want you to peacock. All right. Now, where are you going to date?
So when you're thinking about dating, because you have to practice, I was online at that time. I was flirting in coffee shops. When I would go to lunch, I would look at guys and engage them and maybe just smile a little bit. You smile, you look back, you drop those eyes, and then you look back at them and then you get engage them. Let them know they can compliment you as well as you compliment them. Let them know that he's attractive. And all the time I'm gathering all of this data and trying to determine a way forward. And I always say that dating in DC is a little bit different because we have a lot of travelers here. People are always coming into DC. I say it's like the grocery stores. Dating and people and new people are being restocked like the grocery shelves. On Wednesday, you go to Giant and you know that they restock the produce. In DC, that produce is being restocked all the time. You understand that there are cycles to when the travelers come in, because this affects, it's not just dating business travelers, but in the DC area, you can see the uptick in online dating or new people online about Wednesday, because guys are going to come in. They are like, oh, okay, hey, I'm in a new place. I can meet new people. So you see an uptick in the people online. You're thinking about your strategy online. I see these new people. A lot of the business travelers will come in and they will start to swipe 3-4 days before the conference or their meeting starts. And I would always see an uptick in people on Wednesday. I was actually, when January 6th happened, I was the first person on DC Urban Moms that had said, I said a question. I said, what are all of these new people? I noticed that there was an uptick January 6th in like conservative white men. I was like, who is this thing in town? But it happened. So you have to realize what the cycles are with online dating. And it correlates with cuffing season. But you have a natural benefit being in the Washington, D.C. area, and that they are restocking those shelves every Wednesday. Fresh meat is just like Giant.
I love it. I love it. Okay. So you touched on a few things that I want to loop back on. Okay. All right. Safety. Things yes. that you do to keep it safe. You do whatever you can based on how you're wired, right? If you're a research person, Google them, you send pictures to your girlfriends, you let people know that you're dating. You let people
right.
know.
A journal. I have a journal that I would put it in my drawer. I would write their information in my drawer. and just close the door. And I say, you can always go here in case one day I might not have time or forget to do that. I'm going to write it in that journal who I'm going out with.
Right. And then you don't bring anybody home. You don't bring have you introduced any of your dates to your kids? So how do you navigate that?
For me, I'm probably I'm very gregarious, liberal and outgoing, but I'm very conservative. And don't be afraid that those things don't match. But I'm very conservative in who I introduce to my daughter. So I had to be very serious about you before I would introduce you to my daughter. The first guy, she met him. And I remember a funny thing. I broke up with him a couple times. And I believe in being very truthful with my daughter and dating. Because if she doesn't see me developing, learning, falling down, getting back up, how is she ever to learn how to date? And so I remember one time I had fell down and we broke up. I'm just calling it falling down, but I got back up. And my daughter had, I said, Wanagari, I said, I'm a little sad right now. She says, why, mommy? And I says, I broke up with Gary. And she looked at me and patted me on the shoulder. And she said, that's okay. It'll be other men. And walked away. And she was six. But I wanted my daughter to see a whole view of me dating. I would swipe after my daughter was in bed. I would communicate after my daughter was in bed. I'm taking her to tutoring. So if she's in her tutoring session, I'm sitting out there waiting for her. Yeah, I can swipe then. Developing those strategies, I think, is so important. And also not having just one way that you do things. So I was flirting in person. I was going online. And then I think one thing that you have to do, and I'm a very big advocate of it, and we've talked about that, is looking at things strategically as an African-American woman. And this is one thing that I wish I would have learned a lot earlier, is that at work, I was sitting in these work meetings, interacting with men that were leading the world, that were very accomplished in their field. Then I would go home with my girlfriends and go to Phillips or some of Republic Gardens and something like that. And I could never reconcile the type of man that I was meeting there with the man that I was used to interacting with. I had a strong father who worked very hard. So that was my role model. My uncles, my uncles and stuff like that, my friends are men. So I have very strong views of what a man is. And I don't care. It doesn't relate to whether or not he's married, he's not married, he's gay, he's not gay, but they are all upstanding men. And that is the role model my daughter sees. So I can't bring home anything less than when her Uncle Steve does so much more for her. When her Uncle Terry calls and say, I will tell me how much the scholarship didn't cover, and I will fund the rest at the Ivy League institution. Those are the men she has in her life. So I had that view of a man. But also looking at, just going back, I think strategically, as African-American women, I think we need to put ourselves in places that we will attract the kind of man that we want to attract. And you have a great gift here in DC, and that people come here to travel. There are conferences constantly, business travelers. Find out where they eat lunch. Go eat lunch at those places like North Italia, downtown by GW, a hot spot. And I know a man in a good suit. I walked in North Italia and I said, it's a whole lot of men in here in some good suits. And so understand your surroundings, and you have to constantly put yourself in that place. And if you want to meet, and it ain't nothing wrong with a barber, love my barbers. If I want to meet a barber, I'm not going to go hang out at North Italia. If I want to meet a barber, I'm going to go hang out at the barbershop, right? Mm-hmm. That's where I'm going. Or if I want to meet a man that's going to work on my house, I'm going to hang out at Home Depot maybe. So you have to be strategic about what you do. And also, we are very well aware of the statistics that are out there, and that there might be a disparity in numbers. So I tell people, I said, online, you can look online and you can see an upcoming calendar of when all of the conferences are coming in DC. You can just put conferences in DC, and it's a search engine optimization function. You can do it today, and it's going to show you all the conferences that are scheduled in May. So in May, there might be the American Medical Association. Where is that? If it's going to be out at, what is it, the Gaylord? Then you might go in the Gaylord. You're a doctor. I tell women all the time, I would say, okay, I understand Howard is having a homecoming this weekend. I said, but also the American Intellectual Property Law Conference is going on up there at the Gaylord. I said, you're going to be one of 4,000 Black women at the Howard function, but maybe you should take a couple hours out and go out there to the Gaylord and be one of 10 Black women with over 2,000 attorneys.
Okay. Right. So you just dropped some gems. So where are you shopping? How are you getting ready to just go have these casual lunches? And then how do you balance who you are as just Kimberly? You're direct, you're sweet, but you're also intelligent and you have opinions. How do you balance that in conversations along with the flirting? So yes, okay, how do you show up?
So how do I show up? I always think everyone needs a good girlfriend that will not lie to them. And if you don't have a good girlfriend that won't lie to you, there are women in places that will not lie to you. Now, I'm a little bit, I like my colorful outfits. I love my Farm Rio. I love my Sika and stuff like that. And I love my dresses. I love going like to Anthropologie because I love the women. They laugh at me, but they will not lie to me. I'll go down there to Anthropologie in Bethesda. It's huge. The sale rack is wonderful. But you'll see that Anthropologie, you have a lot of professional older women there who I think a lot of them are, say, married maybe to wealthy men. But they do that as they work at Anthropologie as their job. But the Anthropologie in Bethesda, in the basement, that dressing room is golden. They're going to tell you the truth. So if you don't have a good girlfriend that's going to tell you the truth, you need somebody else or a space where you can go try on things and they tell you the truth. So have somebody around you or a space around you that when you are looking to formulate those outfits that can pump you up and tell you you look good and give you those constructive, positive critiques. So girl, you got some hips. You need to show off them hips. And so from that, know what your colors are, what your fabrics are. You have go to coffee outfit. A professional go to coffee outfit. Then you have a cute casual because I'm going home from my house to the coffee shop. A cute casual go to coffee outfit. Then you got your outfit that's real sexy. You might be going out to one of the more expensive restaurants or whatever. So you got that outfit, but you don't need just one outfit to go out to date because you don't know if he's going to ask you out for breakfast. You don't know if he's going to ask you to, say, go for a biking date. So you might have some cute workout wear. So you need those different levels. So I would have my Kim's going on a coffee date outfit, but I'm going to work. So it was still professional, but might have hugged my curves a little bit more. It was still good enough for work. He's going to notice my curves. Now he's not going to see my cleavage because I'm at work, but he's going to notice my curves. So I would have different outfits. I think that's important. And I know what spaces to go in to receive that mother wisdom. To receive all those nuggets, to learn what I need to learn, is it as if I was in Filene's basement, the Devil Wears Prada. Remember her? She gonna tell you the truth about your outfit. So you have to get a woman like that or women surrounding you that help you hone your skills. And once you develop what looks good on you, you have a few things. Always have that. If he wants to go walk in and somewhere casual, have that workout outfit that looks cute on you. Don't have, like I got on a pair of ugly sweatpants. Now, I'm not going to wear these working out, but I got my date workout outfit.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now, how do you balance how you interrelate on the date? So there's going to be banter. How do you handle that banter with just a little bit of sass, some intelligence, and some flirt?
I think you have to get over yourself as a Black woman. You do. And understand that people are going to be people. People have grown up in certain environments and that you might have a good man that might have some ill-conceived notions. But you can't, looking back, I think I've kind of X'd out some guys who are maybe a little bit shy, but maybe have grown. Now, I don't believe in continuing with it with an ASS. Nah, if he's saying egregious things, then you get up and leave. But sometimes you have to, based upon who is sitting across from you, you might have to forgive a couple transactions or things that they're saying. I've found that a lot of men gone, I don't care how you show up, you could show up. There have been some times that I would splurge on an outfit and I'm sitting there and I would come in and the hostess would be like, oh, she fly. And they'd be like, your date over there. And I'd be like, Lord Jesus. I'm like, oh my God. I was like, my dress, like $300 I got on. I got on a pair of Tamra Melons.
I was like, Lord Jesus, and this little man over there sitting over there with a t-shirt on. That doesn't mean he's a bad man, right? And I had to realize that he still might be a good man, but he might say something. He's nervous too. He's nervous. He should be nervous. Uh-huh. He might say something that might not be the best, but don't judge him on saying something. And I found too that a lot of people don't believe we smart, right? Black men, white men, the whole nine. If he's got other qualities, sometimes you be like, okay, I'll forgive him this time, but because you know I can come out of my mouth with the best of them, and I can come off my tongue too. But try to give him grace. And my mom always told me, she said, "Girl, you don't have to tell everybody how smart you are." And I say that to mean that a lot of guys, we're in a certain generation in a certain environment. I grew up very liberal, very open-minded, but sometimes the guys that I meet are not necessarily where I am, and they've grown up in different environments, and that I have to give them that grace. I do a lot of times have to give people grace that I am dating if I'm dating interracially. They're not Black. They're never going to understand where I am.
Right.
But if he's open to listening, if you have to correct him, you correct him. Stand your ground, but correct him. Yeah, I've had one guy I remember, and it didn't last beyond a date or two, but he was like, "Why are you not married?" But the thing was, my friend said to me, she said, "You had to give him grace because he thought you were gorgeous. Why hadn't you gotten married?" He was saying it from that standpoint, not to insult you, but why aren't you married? He said, he was like, "Wow, why aren't you married?" There were other issues, but I had to give him, looking back, I should have gave him a little bit of grace because he was very excited. I've had men, I would walk in and I ain't like Halle Berry or one of them other. I think I look pretty good. I'm in shape and stuff like that. I mean, but okay, oh my God. I'm like, you looking, I'm like, did he get a hard on? So you have to give them grace. I think it's important that you
get that's a good thing at this age, because
we don't even want to get on that. That's another podcast. Because I got my socks
So we're gonna take that one offline. Okay, so let's talk about the phases of dating, because I think that there's a lot of self-awareness that goes into dating. Dating is pretty much a cesspool right now, because I think that there are a lot of people on all sides who lack that self-awareness. If you're not mentally in the mindset to be dating, don't date. If your life is a train wreck, don't date. Right? If you are feeling some kind of way, insecure about something, don't date. And I love what you said. You said that you have to be light when you want to go out and date, because that means you're going to have a good time that night, regardless of whether your date is idiot. You already decided that I'm going to have a lightness about myself. I'm going to go. I'm going to date. I have my theme music. I'm doing this. So let's talk about the different phases of dating.
I think it's important as a woman to realize that you go in and out of dating. I've deleted the apps probably 50 times in a year. With that, sometimes I'll go through things, meet people, don't meet people, and get upset. But I think it's important that as a single mom by choice, you realize that you will not be able to date the same way, using the same method each time. But it's important that you get up, and it's okay that you stop and start again. What is most important is that you prioritize yourself, your child. It might be Christmas, it might be Ramadan, it might be whatever you choose to celebrate. You might experience that, so you have to put it away. It's okay to put dating away. It is okay to pack dating up and put it away if you're experiencing elder care issues. It is okay to pack and put up dating. I have like my dating suitcases. So my dating life is currently in a set of suitcases right now because I have elder care issues. I also have some other issues in my professional situation that I'm dealing with. So I've packed my dating life up and what I've learned and put them in those suitcases and put them on the shelf. I think it is most important as a single mom by choice that you not be afraid to take those suitcases back out, dust them off, look through that, and then say that this is now how I'll date. And I'm looking forward to that. There have been ebbs and flows about how I get ready to date, not just getting ready physically, but getting ready spiritually, how I get my body ready to date. And so I might take off that shelf my online dating suitcase and unpack it and say, these are the apps that I've used. I like this. I don't like this. And I might say that I want to do online dating anymore. So I put that suitcase back up on the shelf. I might take out that suitcase that says, Kimberly, you need to meet someone in person or at professional events. What do you need to do to go on this trip? So my suitcases are like dating trips. What do I need to do? So if I'm going to do online dating, I'm taking that suitcase off that shelf, all of the lessons that I've learned, the things that are packed away, and I'm going to go down that journey of online dating. I might have a suitcase on the shelf when I'm thinking about maybe I'm going to get out there and expose myself. I'm going to go to a gym with a co-ed gym with a lot of men and stuff like that. I'm going to expose myself in different ways, be friendly at the grocery store, be friendly at this, get out. So I might do that. So I've got three suitcases sitting on my shelf with my dating life. The one suitcase is online dating. The one suitcase is when I date and I'm trying to find somebody or thinking about it, strategizing, how do I meet someone possibly in a professional environment? Because I do believe in having those strategic lunch dates, putting yourself in that situation, happy hour after work. So that's a suitcase right there. And then there's the suitcase that contains my dating strategies as far as, say, Kim, maybe you go to Home Depot when I know there's people at Home Depot. Maybe instead of going to Target, you know, looking like a hot mess, maybe I look a little better. I got my dating workout clothes going to Target, looking at my clothes. So I have a suitcase right there. But one of the things is I've never been afraid to take a suitcase off the shelf and pack it back on up.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Okay. So we're winding down this episode. Let's talk about dating yourself. Mm-hmm. Because I think that it is important to have that same enthusiasm, that same joy, that same flirty, that same lightness for yourself as well.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Yes. One of the things I tell women all the time is to date yourself. You have to look at pictures of yourself that you love. This is one thing I don't think I talk with you about, but I think when you walk in your house, you need a beautiful photograph of yourself smiling, happy. Where are you happiest? And those images should be, maybe you have, if you have photographs in your professional environment, in your office, or even if you're teleworking, have a picture of yourself that you were dressed up, you were looking beautiful, and you were lighthearted. Have that where you're looking at yourself every day. Date yourself every day. You should be looking at positive images of yourself so that comes through and it shines. I date myself every morning. I date myself when I wake up because I know to date myself is to pour into myself. And that when I work out, because I wake up about 5 o'clock every morning, I try to get to the gym, and pouring into myself is so important on a daily basis, eating healthy. So it's not just the clothes, but I get up and it's before my daughter gets ready. I've trained her to be responsible. I tell her when mommy comes back, I want you dressed. I want you downstairs and I want your lunch fixed or you about to fix your lunch. When I come back from the gym and giving her that discipline is so important so that I'm able to get that mommy time. So I do that, but you have to date yourself. You have to believe in yourself. And I think what a better way to date yourself is to pour into yourself, have a beautiful photograph of you in multiple places in your house.
I love it. I love that.
Hang the date outfit up. Hang the good panties up. You don't wear the good panties every day. Hang the good panties up so that you can see them. Hang your beautiful photographs up so that you can see them. And if you got to ride around in a car with your beautiful photograph on your dashboard, do that. I have a photograph of myself that I love that I took in New York. And that's my bubble at work. And people are like, oh, wow, I loved it because I'm just like, but that's my personality. It comes through and it shines through. And that's what you have. It's not just about the spa days and the this. It's about dating yourself every day. You believe in yourself every day. The affirmations, you surround yourself with goodness.
Yes, I love that, Kim. Kimberly, thank you. Yeah. For this conversation that has been on the books for a number of years. Thank you for taking the time and chatting with me, and to be continued.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you so much. I'm always here to share my wisdom, some of the tools that I've used. And there's a lot of heaviness in dating, and I've had to put dating away. And I'm looking very forward to taking those suitcases off of those shelves and experiencing a Canaan.
Oh, yes, yes.
Thanks for listening to Start to Finish Motherhood with Aisha. If you want to keep the conversation going, follow Start to Finish Motherhood on Instagram or email me at aisha@starttofinishmotherhood.com. If you love this episode, please share it with anyone who's thinking of becoming a single mother by choice, anyone who's already parenting as a single mother by choice and just looking for advice on navigating it all, or a friend or family member who's looking to support someone else's single mother by choice journey. Until next time, bye now.